Amen. I want to love him more. Is that our heart this morning? The story ever sweeter grows. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus, and that which we have heard much about this morning already. I have been so blessed and encouraged again this morning to hear about the power of Jesus and what he can do. In 1 John 1:7 it says, "For we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Praise the Lord. That's what we heard this morning. I was so blessed by the testimonies from Brother Joe and Barbara, Sister Barbara. It was such a blessing to hear again that Jesus can take the vilest sinner and cleanse him and make him whole. I think a lot of us, or most of us here this morning, have probably experienced that already. And if we haven't, we can. God is faithful, and we're not left alone, we're not left behind. If we're sitting here this morning and we're struggling because we don't have that testimony, we don't have that freedom or peace or rest in our heart, we can have. There was a day when I was sitting there struggling because I didn't have the peace and rest of the Lord Jesus in my heart, and today I do. Praise God for that. It's not from our own merit or anything we do except just walk in the light, as 1 John says. Walk in the light. That's what Joe and Barbara did. They walked in the light. When we get exposed to the light, not from us or others so much, but God does use us, but when we get exposed to the light that God sheds on us, through us, on us, however you want to put it, God does something in our hearts. Something happened. I remember Brother Cho sharing with us that he didn't think there was any hope for him anymore, but he wanted something for his wife and children. And that's what the devil does to us when we walk in darkness for too long. The devil binds us up in chains, and he makes us think that there is no hope for me. And that's my message today I want to talk about. I'm going to write the title of my message here this morning. I'm going to write it on the board. Let me see here. Maybe if I can spell, that would help. Jesus and chains. Now you might think, what a message. Jesus and chains. You see, I didn't put there Jesus in chains. It says Jesus and chains. I want to talk today to us a bit about the difference of Jesus and chains and what happens to chains when Jesus comes around. See, Jesus was in chains one time, and that's because he let them do it. He walked up and said, "Here I am." Other than that, I don't think there was one time in the Bible that Jesus was bound or didn't have the power over any sin, over any chain, over anybody or anything that was bound. Jesus has power, and I want to talk about that power and what chains do to us. But I think before we go there, why don't we just all rise for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, God, with needy hearts, Father. Lord, may you come and meet us here by your Holy Spirit, God. May you speak to us, Father. Give us manna from heaven, Lord. May you take these few moments, these few words and thoughts that I have, God, and take them way further than I can ever take them, Father. May you bless our hearts, Lord, that we could be open to your word today, Lord. Help me as I share your word, Father, that I wouldn't share anything that would be contrary to your will, Father, or your heart for us and your people. God, just be with us today. Prepare our hearts to receive manna from heaven today. Convict us. Give us encouragement, Lord. Strengthen our faith. Be with us. Do whatever you will today. We commit ourselves in these next few moments into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's open our Bibles to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. And this account is right after Jesus and his disciples were teaching in the city. Not quite sure which city it was, but anyway, it was an overwhelming time. The people were almost stampeding the disciples and Jesus because they were just so hungry for the word. Some of them were mad. Some of them were thirsting for righteousness. There was all kinds of things going on here, but Jesus got in a boat so that he wouldn't be run over or taken over. And he taught a lot here in Mark chapter 4 to the people. But then they went across the river, went across the sea or lake they were on, and then they came over to chapter 5. So let's begin reading here in verse 1 in chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. This account is of somebody that was bound in chains. Now the devil has power. As you can see, this man had broken chains and broken fetters that he was bound with. But that wasn't the power of this man. We are no match for chains. But I want us to see in this account what happens when Jesus comes face to face with these men bound in chains. Something happened. A couple practical aspects of chains. Chains are very heavy, and there's a lot of strengths in chains and ropes and cables, whatever you want to use, but we're going to be talking about chains this morning. For some of you have went on a sightseeing trip yesterday and went across the Mackinac Bridge, and my guess is as you were at the peak of this bridge, you were very thankful for the chains that were holding, or the cables that were holding this bridge up. You probably didn't even really think about it that much, that these chains, because they are many, would break and that you would end up in a devastating place. Because there's a lot of power in chains. When we haul logs or when we pull trees or whatever we do, a lot of times we hook chains to it and we tie down logs, and we have a lot of trust in these chains that they will hold whatever we're tying down, they'll hold it in place, or whatever we're hooked up to, they'll drag it, whatever we're doing. And there's a lot of power in chains, but sometimes they do tear if they're too small. But I want us to grasp this morning that we are no match when it comes to breaking chains, spiritual or dark, wicked chains in our lives. We can't do that on our own. This man did it, but it was through the power of someone else. It wasn't Jesus. So when we're bound up in a dark state, like we heard this morning, there's not a whole lot we can do on our own. We heard this morning that there were some times where they thought they wanted something better, but didn't have the power to do it. And sometimes we're bound in that way. We know something is wrong in our lives, but we can't change a thing. So let's look at a few things that bind us spiritually? What are some things that can bind us spiritually that we're no longer free? Maybe once we were free, or maybe we were never free, and we feel this chain tightening up around our hearts this morning. Maybe we're sitting here just feeling bound up, like we have no power over sin. We have no power over ourselves, over something in my life that's just bothering me. Maybe we're sitting here bound up. I want to take a look at some things that bind us up spiritually. And I thought about making a list, but I don't think I will. But let's go over a few things that can bind us up spiritually. The chains of low self-esteem, thinking too little of ourselves. God made us in His image, and He has a plan for every one of us here today. And when we think too little of ourselves, a lot of times I think I can say that it's pride at the root of that. So low self-esteem, anger, rejection, depression, unforgiveness, untruthfulness, fornication, addiction, lack of faith, loneliness, pornography, discouragement, worry, broken marriages, these all can be broken from ourselves and our families if we turn over to Jesus. Unforgiveness is probably one of the biggest things, and I think there's a lot that follow that. And I know for myself, in my life, it was addictions. There was things that I was addicted to. Thus, I had a lot of, I was lonely a lot of times. Even though I'm a people person, I like to connect with people. I like to be around people. You can do that, be that, and still be lonely in your heart. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about. When we're lonely, we're not just because we're lack of people in our lives, but maybe we're around people, but we sense that we're alone. Maybe they have something I don't have. And that makes us lonely. God didn't intend for us to be alone. God intended for us to have fellowship with one another, with Him. That's what we were created for, was to have fellowship with the Lord. And we're not created to be alone. But when we're bound up with chains, whatever it might be this morning, we're lonely. No matter how many people we are around. Lack of faith is another big one, I believe, that bounds people. Is maybe we know of something we should do, but we just don't have the faith that if we do this, it's going to work for me. Yeah, it might have worked for you or these other people, but my situation is a different one. You never experience what I have experienced. There's all kinds of things the devil will put into your heart or your mind to try to discourage you from running to Jesus as this man did coming out of the tomb. Have you ever thought about why this man ran to Jesus and knelt down and worshiped Him? And he called Him, didn't he, Son of the Most High God. How did he know that? There's something about us, every one of us, no matter what situation we're in. You meet people on the streets that are, you know, the worst addicts around, maybe, or I shouldn't even say the worst addicts, but very deeply bound by chains of addiction or whatever it might be. And there's something in them that longs to be free, just longs to be free. Because why? We were created that way. God created us to be free. But then we messed that up. But then God made a way for us through the blood of Jesus, through His Son. But back to every heart wants to be free. There's a longing within all of us that just longs to be free and to have peace and a rest in our hearts. And it's very much available. But these are some things that can bind us up spiritually. And maybe I should open it up. If there's some that you all think about, feel free to call them out at this moment. If there's some things that you think about, maybe you faced in your own life that bound you up before you were converted or even after you're converted. Sometimes we allow things to take a hold of our heart. And before we know it, we're kind of bound up again, ain't we? So if there's something you all think about, call it out.
Reputation.
Reputation. Amen. It's a big one.
Fear.
Fear. It's That's right. Lack of faith. Anything else? Having a wrong view of God. That's right. There's a lot in that. That's right. There's a lot in just having a lack of understanding, maybe, or
being at a place where you don't think there's any hope
for that. Right. That's right. Being a place of despair. I think a lot of us have been there. Just a place of loneliness, despair, where we're discouraged. Discouragement is a big tool and a big chain. One of the biggest chains, I believe, that God or the devil uses to bind God's people or try to bind God's people. And may we be able to break free from those bonds this morning. There is a way. There is a way. Where do these things come from? Who binds us? Where do these things that we mentioned here, some of the things unforgiveness, discouragement, worry, broken marriages, lack of faith, loneliness. Where do these things come from? Who puts them in our lives? Do we choose to go and be lonely? Do we choose to get angry? Do we choose to be discouraged? Where do these things come from? When we think about the things that bind us up, let's turn to 2 Timothy 2. We'll look at an account here. We're going to look at 3 points of where these things can come from, how we can get bound up. The first one, I believe, is from the devil. These things come from the devil. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25 and 26 say, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth, 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay? That's why I say from the devil. Now, I want to say that carefully because I think in today's age we live in, a lot of things get blamed on the devil instead of taking personal responsibility for them. Now, the devil a lot of times will offer us things, will put thoughts in our hearts, or even bring things in our life, as we can see here, that these people were taken captive by him at his will. I don't think it's at our will. A lot of times, I don't think we understand the spiritual or the wicked realm of the devil. And when we get to play, how do we play with that thing? I think if we have something in our lives, something that we know that's not right, shouldn't be there, maybe sin, maybe not, we play with that thing. We're playing with fire. The devil is a lot stronger than we are. So point number one was, I believe that it comes from the devil in Acts 5. We're not going to turn to all these scriptures. I have several of them. But just another one to see that the devil does bring things into our lives. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the prize of the land? In this account with Ananias and Sapphira, we see that the devil put this thought into their heart, okay? But they responded to it. They were the ones that actually took action and kept back part of the money. So that's the second point the devil put things into our lives. But we should never say, the devil made me do this. Or should we? I think it's a lack of responsibility on our part and a lack of faith, a lack of acknowledging that the power of God is enough in our lives if we say that the devil made me do this. Maybe the devil led me to it. He gave me the thought or the temptation or whatever it might have been. But I don't think the devil has the power to make God's people sin. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. I didn't think that through too far, but I just don't believe that in my heart. God is greater than the devil. And when we are in tune with God, I don't think the devil can make us sin. Point number two is ourselves. Where do these things come from? Ourselves. We're going to look at Proverbs 5, Verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings." Or 5:22, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." We shall be holden with the cords of his sins. So, by the cords of his sins. So it's very clear here that we, a lot of times, when we're bound up, it's because we chose whatever binds us, we chose that. Or we're choosing to believe what we're bound with. We're choosing to believe that we're stuck. Are God's people ever stuck? Are God's people ever stuck? Amen. We're never stuck. When no matter what situation we find ourselves in this morning, we are never stuck there. God always has a way out. There is no dead end in the kingdom of God. Another account is in John 8, verse 34. "Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And we're talking about how we bring things upon ourselves that bind us. Here it says, "Whoever committeth sin is the servant." In other words, it's the slave to that sin. Whatever you commit yourself, whoever you commit yourself to work for, that's whose slave you are. And if you're sitting here this morning, you have sin in your life, and you know what? I'm sorry, but you're committed to that taskmaster. And the devil is a harsh taskmaster. He does not care what he does to you. He doesn't care how you feel, what you struggle with. All he cares is that you follow him straight into hell. And brothers and sisters, there is a way out. There is an escape route. And I don't want to make you feel condemned here this morning. Please hear my heart. I just want us to see that we have a choice in the matter. We're never left without a remedy. God is greater than all this. One more point on how we bring chains in our own lives by ourselves is in Titus 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Those are things we do. Those are sins we commit that bring bondage into our own lives. When we're sitting here this morning and we hate someone, maybe somebody hurt us. You know, there was in the testimony this morning, there was tremendous sin committed to the one sharing their testimony against them. Innocent little children being abused. That's a sin that got committed against them. Could they help it? Yes, maybe not. I don't know how everything was, but they had a choice to make at some point. And praise God, they chose to forgive, let go, and look to God for their own lives. A lot of times we sit here holding other people for things that we are doing ourselves, and we don't see that. We're bound up. Maybe we have unforgiveness against other people. Maybe somebody did wrong us. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things that happen today where children are abused, people are abused, misused, mistreated. There's a lot of that in this world today. I don't know if there's a whole lot more than it was back then. When we think that we have a really terrible life, and some of us might, but let's look at the one that came out of the tomb. I'm guessing that the people around there, they thought this was a horrible situation, and it was. This man was in chains. He was beat up. He was bruised up. He would cut himself to where he was bleeding, and he was a miserable wretch. And so I guess my point is, there were things like that back then that went on. There was people. There was horrible situations, and God was faithful then. He's still faithful today. Still has the same power available to set us free from those chains of bondage in our life. And then the last point we want to look at on how do these things bind us spiritually, where do they come from, is others. And I just want to look at this because it's a reality, not because this is a solution or something that we should look to or comfort us with this morning, that if I'm struggling to forgive so-and-so or if I hate so-and-so, it's because he did so-and-so and that's why I hate him, or that's why I'm miserable, or that's why I'm discouraged, or I just want to point this out because it is a reality. In 2 Peter 2, verse 18, and I'm going to read a few verses here. You're welcome to follow if you want. It's in 2 Peter 2, verse 18. I'm going to start. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. It's talking about false prophets here. How we shouldn't listen to false prophets are things that are not clear with Scripture. In verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Do we follow that? If somebody convinces us from something and we're overcome by someone, something, or whatever it might be, and we get convinced, but it's not scriptural, no matter what it is. And remember, we're talking about false prophets in our lives. But if somebody convinces us of anything besides the pure word of God, we become their slave almost. I'll just read that again. The same is brought into bondage. For of whom a man is overcome, in other words, if somebody convinces me, of the same he is brought into bondage. We get deceived sometimes. Sometimes people have agendas that they're trying to push. They have something that they're holding way up. Maybe it is scriptural in a way, but it's held way too high and it's painted and blemished by all kinds of self-motivation and agenda that's attached to it. And thus we deceive people, bring them into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Sometimes people get delivered. We get delivered from horrible situations, and they get set free. And somehow, if we don't cut all the strings, and we don't hold on to that rope that God dropped for us to pull us out of that miry clay, if we start looking back and wondering why this happened to me or why that happened to me, or we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, in whom delivered us in the first place, we turn back. Somehow man is determined at times to turn back. As much as we hate the things we were bound with, sometimes we turn back, just like it says here. Back to his own vomit and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. And before we know it, we're right back in the same thing. But God is greater than that. We can still, if that is the case with us this morning, if I'm struggling with something that I've been delivered from before, we can be delivered again. God can deliver us again. And I'm not indicating that we can just easily go back into sin and God will take us back out. But God has the power to truly convert hearts. And when we are truly converted, at the end of this message, I want to turn back to Mark 5 again and see our response from people that are truly healed and truly converted. Our response to that. What's the cure for this thing we're talking about? Is there a cure for bound up hearts? Is there a cure for people that maybe have been living in unforgiveness, or maybe there's a hidden sin in your life that you never told anybody, and you're bound by that thing, and you think there's no way I will ever share this thing with anyone. You know, I was there one day. I was there when I knew that there was something that I had, and I'm not going to share with anybody because it was just too painful and too shameful. And maybe it's not even that painful, but it's just really, really shameful. And that is why I believe if that is me or you this morning, we need to get honest with ourselves before God and deal with that thing. Because if we don't, a lot of times we don't just stay bound with that one little thing, one little sin, if you want to call it that, but the devil has a way of bringing other things, taking that little sin, if you want to call it a little sin, and multiplying it. Pretty soon, before you know it, like we heard this morning, I got deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. That's what the devil does. He will try to convince you that this is too shameful. You should never share this. Nobody else ever struggled with this, but you're alone in this, okay? Remember about the loneliness? Don't ever share this. That's what the devil will tell you. And before you know it, you're doing something you would have thought, you would have never thought you would do. You're into something that you would never. You always told yourself, I might do this, but I'm never going to do that. And I could go into all kinds of details in my own past about how that works. And the devil is never satisfied with a little finger. He will always keep dragging you in until you're totally immersed in sin and hopelessness, despair, whatever it might be in your life. Is there a cure for this? Yes, it is. Amen. Romans 6. Let's turn to Romans 6. There is a cure for any chain that might be binding us this morning. Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, there it's talking about that bondage, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Okay? And then he says, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now let's go to verse 17. Here's the cure. Here's the answer. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Now, what is that form of doctrine? Amen. Thank you, brother. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that is that form of doctrine that's been delivered. That was delivered to the Romans here. Okay? Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit into holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So that there's a cure for whatever we might be facing this morning. If we are enslaved in sin, we're under that bondage of sin, something in our lives, maybe just not a clear conscience like Barbara said this morning, there's an escape route. We can be delivered from that. There is no chain, there is nothing too powerful for God to break through. Just like that man that was bound in chains there that met Jesus there in Mark 5, I'm sure that it probably looked very hopeless to these people that that man could ever be delivered. Do we know of men like that today? Sure we do. I could name men that we have prayed for and begged God to deliver, and it seems like they go right on in their own lives. And sometimes we don't have the answers for these things. But I'm sure that was the case for that man. And when Jesus came and he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And that's exactly what we have to do. Brothers and sisters, if we're here and we're bound, we have to run to the feet of Jesus and worship him and call out to God. Then only can we be healed and saved. But if we just stay in the distance because it's too painful, it's too shameful, people don't understand me, I'm afraid of what might happen, where might God lead me to, what might he ask me to do if I do this? There's all kinds of questions that go through your mind this morning. Brothers and sisters, if we do that, we can't be freed from these bondages. We must run to the feet of Jesus. See, Jesus didn't come over to the tomb looking for him. He might have, but I'm just bringing a point out. We have to make the move. We have to have enough faith and walk to Jesus' feet. Find yourself a friend. Find yourself somebody you can share your hurts with or your heart with. Find yourself a tree. Find yourself a fence post or somewhere you can go and just fall down and cry out to God. I think most of us here probably have that kind of place in our life, or maybe have had, maybe should have, where there's a certain tree that I go to and I just fall down on my face before God and I cry out. It doesn't have to be a tree. I'm just making a point that we do need to come like that that guy did in Mark 5 before Jesus and worship him. We don't have to have just the right words. We don't have to have just the right clothes on. It doesn't have to be just the right time of the day for us to do that. Just like the woman at the well, she was bound up with all kinds of chains. Sin, horrible, dirty. She was married to, five men? And she was battling and struggling because she felt like an unclean, dirty woman, like all of us do without Christ. Ain't that so? And Jesus talked to her, started talking to her, and she was like, why do you talk to such a dirty person like me if you are such a good person? And so the point is just that it don't matter. Is it at the well? Is it somewhere? It doesn't matter where it's at. You just have to become honest in your heart before God, and he will help you. He will help you. 2 Corinthians talking about the cure is still here. I love. There's so many verses. I couldn't decide which ones to pick. The Bible is full of ways of escape from these bounds of sin and chains in our lives. But 2 Corinthians 3 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if we're bound this morning, it's probably because maybe the Spirit of God ain't there. No, it's because it ain't there. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. There's no question, okay? Psalms 146, verse 7 says, which executes judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord loosens the prisoners. The Lord loosens the prisoners. How do we respond? That's my last point here, is how do we respond to the chains that the devil tries to put around us? Maybe now we've been freed. Maybe we're living in victory, but struggling. Sometimes circumstances try to take us back down and they make us fearful again, or maybe they make me prideful, or all kinds of things that want to try to start tying us in a small way. It might start out with just a threat that you can easily, you can easily break free from a little threat. But the next time it's a little bit thicker and I can handle this. You know, I can play with this pride a little bit. I can play with this, lust of the eye a little bit. I can play with this pride of life a little bit. I can drive this truck, or I can buy this truck. I can handle this. You can name a lot of things in your own life. Maybe there's something right now that you're battling with. Should or shouldn't I? I would suggest that we pray before we make some of those decisions. It might just be a small threat, but it might lead to a bigger one and a bigger one, and all of a sudden we're bound with chains. And I don't want us to be fearful. God has a remedy and a solution for that. But I want to encourage us, brothers and sisters, this morning, let's pray about things before we just do them carelessly. Because the devil is intentional. The devil is very intentional when it comes to try to destroy God's people and bind them up. And sometimes I think this world has a way of distracting us. It's not that bad. There's nothing wrong with this. We have liberty in Christ. We can do this. I can do that. And what we don't realize is little by little, the devil is putting threats around our hearts and binding us up. And all of a sudden, we're into something that we didn't realize we would ever get caught in. Let's be alert. Let's have our eyes on God. Keep our eyes on Jesus. How do we respond to things in this life when we see that maybe something is trying to drag me down? Let's turn to Acts 12. You can turn with me there. This is the account where James got killed. James and Peter and James were together preaching the word, and after Jesus had went back to be with the Father, James in Acts 12, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So what I want us to see here in this point is people sometimes do things. This man was trying to gain power. It says, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Here there was a man exercising power, and thus made it really, really difficult for Peter and James, didn't he? He killed James right there. How do you think Peter felt? Do you think Peter would have had an opportunity to be very, very fearful? Do you think Peter would have had an opportunity to run before his life? We could go on and on. Peter had all kinds of opportunity to get scared and run away from this situation. No, I'm sorry, John. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Do we see any responsibility for ourselves here? In this situation where Peter was taken captive after he saw Brother James get killed, now they take him and put him in prison. And our responsibility as brothers and sisters, as churches, whatever it may be, are responsible to pray for each other. If we see something in our brothers and sisters' lives, let's never run the other way. Let's go in humility and talk to them. Make them aware of what we're seeing. We see a little bit of a threat around your heart. Brother, what is that? Sister, what is that? You know, and let's be concerned for each other. Help each other. We have a responsibility to each other, for each other. And I want to look at Peter's response here. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. Do we get that? Peter had just witnessed James being killed the night before. He was bound in chains. Well, we'll go on here. Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. How was Peter sleeping? In chains between 2 prisoners, with people at the door guarding him. And don't you think he was thinking about James being killed just the night before and all that horrible, you know? How was he sleeping? My point is just, when we're resting in Jesus, all is well. We can have peace and rest in the midst of a horrible storm of life. And we will face them. You will face all kinds of rejection and things in this life when you follow Jesus. But can we have enough rest and peace in our heart to just go to sleep? All is well with my soul. Can we have that rest that Peter had in between those 2 soldiers? We can. The answer is we can. In verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Here we see that God didn't let Peter just meant for himself. God was watching this. There was people over here in the house. There was the church praying. Peter's laying between two soldiers sleeping in chains. And who was watching? It wasn't some of his friends that broke in the back door and went in and held the soldiers captive until they drug Peter out away from him, bolt cutters and cut the chains off. No. When we rely on God the Father, he will work for us. He can break the chains. He has the power to break chains without any bolt cutters. He doesn't need bolt cutters and grinders. We do. But when we rely on the Lord for our struggles, whatever you're facing today, he cares about you. He cares about what we're going through. He knew Peter laid there. He knew everything about it. But Peter responded with obedience, didn't he? When God asked him to rise up, he did. He didn't just say, "I'm so weak because of everything I went through." No, he got up. And the chains fell from him. He could have said, "Now, Lord, look, I have these big chains on my arms and legs. What are we going to do about that?" Sometimes I think God comes to us and offers us a way of escape, and we start reasoning with God because the situation looks so hopeless to us. And we reason with God that, I have these chains, and you know, I've been hurt here, and I don't think you would understand what I would face if I would do this or that. Let's be obedient. When God asks us to get up, let's do that. Let's get up, no matter how heavy those chains are around our arms and legs. Let's get up. Let's obey God in obedience to the Lord. And so he did, it says. And he says unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. This is not real. Can this be for real? Could I be delivered? Is there actually something like being totally free and having rest and peace in our heart? Is that for me? Or is that just for those saints way over there and I can't reach that? That's what Peter was thinking. Is this for real or am I just having a vision here? Let's go on. In verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leads unto the city. Now here's one more big major problem. This iron gate doesn't just open on its own. It takes people to open this gate. How is this going to work? Maybe it's the last thing in your life that you think, yeah, but maybe I can be free from these things, but what about this thing? Maybe there's one last thing in your life that you just don't think will ever go away. You've just decided that you're going to live with it because it's too big. You can't do it. Okay? So when they got there, let me find my where I was at. First and second, where they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of his surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." We can be delivered from whatever you're facing here today, whatever we're facing. We can be delivered. There's nothing too great, too powerful for us to keep us bound. We can be delivered from that. Then again that verse, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now we'll come back to the, in closing here, we'll come back to the man that was healed in Mark 5. Our response when we see, as Joe and Barbara shared here this morning, they feel a rest and they feel a peace in their lives. Praise God for that rest and peace in our lives. But if we have that, maybe we've broke through a situation, maybe we've got delivered from something, what is our response? What is our responsibility? I want to look at that. In Mark 5, verse 18, And when he was come into the ship, talking about Jesus, after he had healed this man, after the spirits were cast out and entered the pigs, and they went down over the hill and were drowned and all that, after all that, and the people got scared about who this Jesus was and told him, hey, leave, we can't have this. And so here Jesus then went. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That's our response when we get healed. We want to be with Jesus. We want to be with the one that gives us hope and peace and rest. That's where we want to be. Okay? And then in verse 19, how about Jesus suffered him not, but says unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. That's our response, brothers and sisters. That's our responsibility, is go tell our friends, go tell our neighbors what we have been made free from. Let them experience or see and experience the power of Jesus in their lives. And how can people know unless we tell them, is what one of the scriptures say. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Sorry, I don't think I can say that right. How great things Jesus has done for him, and all men did marvel. See, that's what happens. We marvel at the power of Jesus. I have marveled in my own life at people that got set free and me being the chief of them. What you can be involved in and get set free from and just have power. Maybe the thing that you were inflicted with or bound with doesn't just automatically go away, but you have power that you never had before when that temptation comes to walk through that without sinning. Praise God, we can do that. I'm going to read a song in closing here that I was so blessed with these words, and I would like to sing it, but I don't think the tune that are in our purple books there, it's not the same tune I was used to, so I thought I probably won't ask to sing it, but I'll read it. And this song is a blessing. The words are very powerful, and so I'll read it. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. His love my heart has captive made, his captive would I be, for he was bound and scourged and died, my captive soul to free. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availeth for me. God bless you, brothers and sisters.